here. I guess it's more comfortable if we share space. And yeah, as you said, it's I'm here kind of playing different roles, and all are kind of touching on the subject of the archive or working with an archive. And and to pick up on from the conference, they are presented Ukon's work, and we deal a lot with the production of knowledges, and I think this comes very much into play with the last two presentations. And I thank you very much for these presentations, and I think it also was nice to hear them back to back as they touch on interesting things. And also I think I didn't I need you for the Arab Women Foundation, as you are much more involved and know much more about it. At the Lüneburg University, I'm there as an artist researcher, and what I'm interested in is to looking for forms of engagement, and I'm interested in strategies of how to approach an archive, or how to approach knowledges, and access information in different and novel ways, and also to look at how existing repositories can open up to new audience that they weren't built for, that they weren't made for, and how this content can be interesting for other people. And I think this is also what you said in different ways, in different forms. There was the question of the place of how to actually access the space of an archive, how to walk into it, how to approach it, how to spend time there or not, and how to, if you are allowed to gain access or not. And I think also what you mentioned with the residencies, like that there are situations when you want to gain access as an artist and the doors are shut, like Stephanie yesterday said when she was approaching trying to gain some information from the media archive, it was just a no, and there's no explanation. And there are other times, which is also very arbitrary, where you're invited to engage with something, to find new gateways to that information, new perspectives. So there was the space, but then also was the different methodologies of how to work with archival content. And I think, especially Valeska, when you said talked about the knowledge production, I was like, oh, this is resonating very strongly. Like, how the archive can manifest itself as an institution, but also within an institution, and questioning different things. And So I got a bit confused, I must say, because there was so much in it. But I want to focus first on the methodologies. Also yesterday there was mentioned in the dance archive and the source code. I thought it was interesting as one example, which was only mentioned on the very side, that if you visit that archive digitally, you'll be tracked, your steps will be tracked. You can get lost in it, but it will be tracked, and at the end you can download that that map. And that could be, if it was uploaded again, one approach for someone else to access the archive. So it's a new strategy. And when Valeska mentioned the Atlas Group, the first, I don't know, have you ever encountered one of their works live in an exhibition format? The first time I saw it, there was no information provided, like not a lot of information, just the images in a very rigid and very strict archival design. And it was really fascinating how it made your head spin at the end, because you were confronted with real images, but the way they were telling a story, it was just truth and reality, the fictional aspect that really was a radical call for thinking for yourself and being startled and having this as an access to maybe an alternative history or an alternative reality that has not been told yet. I think what I kind of gathered from these two positions, these different methodologies of how to access archives, and I mean there were a lot of distinctions for the past days between collections, museums, libraries, and archives. But what they all have in common is the need to be visible, to be active, that the content gets circulated somehow. So, I mean, of course, there are some that still want to rather conceal than reveal, but it is important to be part of a discourse. It is important to be engaged with, but then how can you engage with? And one was the element of fiction, which I find interesting, and maybe this can also be an interested aspect for another institution that is not doesn't come from an artistic perspective, but maybe from an educational one. How can fiction and narration or narratives can help to find ways through the archive and find ways to engage with the content of the archive? And I thought in your talk the element of storytelling becomes its own force almost. I don't know, I was talking, I think, with you yesterday about the strength of narration. Sometimes there is no image at all, but if the story is told, it sticks. It opens up an imaginative space to envision something that was maybe not there, and it's also a matter of storage, the storytelling. So maybe we could think about how storytelling can also be an element for educational approach to repositories. The element of fiction, I already said, the element of tracing and mapping. And also, I think what you kind of were expanding with the archive and by introducing fiction yesterday, introducing the embodied knowledge, that the archive becomes this corpus of different modules of informational content. For example, you have text, and I heard there is like a lot of reliance still on text, but by approaching an archive in a different way, you might slowly embed also this idea that other knowledges are just as important, just different ways, and maybe the concoction or the mixture of it can become interesting. So in dance, it's the video, the photographs, but it's also the almost like in storytelling or oral history, as you mentioned, the continuation and alteration and the changing of the content, which also here, when you mentioned, that the multiplicity of content in the recontextualization, that you can use content in different ways to tell different stories, and that one item does not only hold one biography and serve in within one context, but it has a multiplicity. And imagine just if it was released to new audiences that are not engaging with it so far. So also the archive as this, what I said with these different elements, that they actually coexist, and if you're within it, it's a new experience of the archive. And so maybe we can together look at maybe we can start with a gap where the unexpected and the serendipity, but how could this become a strategy of either getting lost or approaching an archive? That is one. And how could this be transferred maybe to educational strategies? And I think what you already pointed out was the limitations and how arbitrary it is, how you find things and how you neglect things, how it is because of the space that some things are revealed or not, or you focus on a specific path, or how your personal agency or agenda determines what you look, what you neglect. And maybe for us and for everyone is to generate this kind of openness and willingness to get lost, and openness to look sideways and allow for the unexpected that this closed room might offer. Maybe that's as the... I think that's kind of it. Oh yeah, and then after that maybe we can come back to Valeska's question at the very end and maybe open this up, because it also refers to the institution and yes.